The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. After being filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, Jesus is led in the wilderness. Through his responses to the temptations of the devil, he defines what it means to be called the Son of God. I begin reading at verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone.'" Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourselves down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning. It's good to see all of y'all here today. Have y'all ever been hungry? You ever been hungry? Huh?
I have.
You have? All right. What do you do when you're hungry?
You eat.
You eat. But what if you can't eat? You just get hungrier, don't you? Maybe you've been so hungry that, yeah. What?
You might go to a restaurant.
You might go to a restaurant then, huh? If you're really hungry. Yeah. What?
You might eat lunch if you're
hungry. You might eat lunch if you're hungry. But what if there is no food? Yeah. You know, your stomach may start to hurt. Have you ever had sounds come from your stomach when you're really hungry? That starts to gurgle a little bit, make funny sounds, and you don't feel good, and maybe you're even a little cranky. Yeah, you want to fuss a little bit. When's supper gonna be ready? I'm hungry. It's time to eat. Well, I got a story for you about Jesus, who was at one time really hungry. When he was baptized, he came out of the River Jordan, and he went out into the wilderness, and there was no food. He fasted. He quit eating for 40 days. 40 days without any food. That's a long time, isn't it? And he was very hungry. But while he was there in the desert, in that wilderness, the devil came to him and says, "I know how to get you some food. I know how to trick you into doing something that God doesn't want you to do. Why don't you take those rocks over there and turn them into some fresh homemade bread?" Y'all ever smelled fresh homemade bread? Or food that smells really good when it's cooking? And you're hungry, and boy, that really makes your stomach start to gurgle and be ready to eat. But Jesus said that there's something more important even than bread, and that's the bread of life, or the word of God. It was more important to follow God than to fill your stomach. Okay, and so the devil tried something else to trick Jesus. He took them up to a real high mountain, real tall. Okay, he took Jesus up there and he says, "Look out. You can see all the kingdoms of the world, and I'll give you everything. You can have anything you want." Wouldn't that be pretty neat if you could have anything you want anytime you wanted it? You think that would make you happy? Probably not. You'd probably get really bored with all of that. And Jesus says, again, that you shouldn't be tempted. Don't be tempted with that stuff, because there's more important things in this world than just things. God is much more important than all this stuff in the world. Right? And then the devil tried to tempt him with something else. He took him up into Jerusalem, into the highest temple, like a church. Can you imagine going outside and climbing at the very top of the steeple up there, way on top of the bell tower? Be a long ways down, wouldn't it? And you could see a ways, but the devil says, all right, here's what I want you to do. If you really are who you say you are, if you really are Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you jump off of here? Because God's not going to let you die. God's going to send angels to catch you. You think Jesus jumped? No. Would you jump? No. You could get hurt, wouldn't you? Well, Jesus wasn't necessarily worried about getting hurt. What he was worried about was tempting God, trying to see to make sure that God is really there. And we don't need to do that, because we know that God is right here with us. He's in our hearts and he's in our minds. He's all around us. And God does protect us, not from doing silly things like jumping off of high places, but God does protect us in many different ways, and he's with us always. We don't need to prove it that God is here. God is here. We believe that. We have our faith, and we know that God is here with us. And so a lot of times in your lives then, you'll be tempted to do things. You'll be tempted to go against God's word, or you'll be tempted to take things that don't belong to you, or you'll be tempted to do silly things and maybe hurt yourself. But you need to remember that God is with you, and he can lead you away from that. Okay, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who went through the temptations for us, who keeps us strong so that we too cannot fall into those temptations. Be with us in all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, don't go sit. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A young girl was complaining, "Oh no, not more heritage stuff." Her parents had planned a Sunday afternoon that they would go visit some of the historical sites in the area. And the girl was tired of it. They had made several trips to different places, and she was wondering, why do we have to go to see all this old stuff? Why do we have to go into the old buildings? Or why do we have to follow a tour guide around and listen to what that person has to say? And so she asked her parents, why? Why do we have to go? And her parents were saying, it's history. It's your history. What the parents were trying to do was to instill in that girl some of the past events to help shape, form who she was, and help to her to understand the shape of society and of her thoughts and different actions and different things that she did. That history affected her in a certain way, and also affects the future then too, if that is how it has affected you, how to think in the present. History is important, and I do hope that your parents or maybe even your grandparents have told you some of your family history or sat down and told you the stories of the old days, because it does shape who we are and how we think and how we make decisions and what is going to happen in the future then too, or how you've handled the situations that crop up in the future. I think that is a lot that was going on in our Old Testament lesson reading today from Deuteronomy. They were celebrating what they called the Festival of the Weeks, and it was the Harvest Festival, and it came from that time when they first came into the Holy Land. During this festival, the people would remember what they had gone through, that slavery and oppression in Egypt, and how God had done mighty works and delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh and brought them out of that slavery. And then that time where they were wandering around in the wilderness and they had to depend totally upon God. They had to depend upon God for the food, for the manna that came down from heaven or from the quail, or for water that they had to drink. They had to depend upon God to lead them then into the promised land. They learned that God was the most important, that they had to depend totally upon Him for their very existence. And then when they arrived in the promised land, they had to depend upon God to clear the land so that they could live there in peace. They had to vanquish the enemies from the people of Israel. And they needed God to do that, and they remembered that in this festival. And so when the people finally settled in the land, when they came to that first harvest season, they were reminded to give of their first fruits back to God. They remembered that. And so each year then after that, they had this festival of weeks. They remembered their past. They remembered their dependence upon God. And it was important to them because if they forgot about these events that had happened in the past, they might start to think that, well, we just lucked into this land flowing with milk and honey. Or we were so good that we were able to kill all of our enemies who were stronger and bigger and more numerous than we were so that we could possess the land. Or they might start to think it's just because of our hard labor that we're able to produce so much good stuff, and everything that we produce on this land is mine to use and use as I want to use it. Or maybe they would start to forget who God was, and they would forget their dependence upon God. And so it was important for them to remember these past stories, particularly this main story of the Old Testament, of their deliverance and of their guidance that came from God. For us as Christians, too, we have our past history, and we need to also be reminded constantly of those stories as well. This story in the Old Testament is part of our history as well then, too, because it tells us that we are totally dependent upon God for everything. And if we forget these stories, then we start to think or we believe false histories, such as rugged individualism that says, I can do it by myself. Nobody else can help, needs to help me. I don't need God to help me either. Or the false history of hedonism. If it feels good, it must be good. Or the false thoughts of consumerism. Everything that I have is mine, and it belongs to me. We start to believe that we don't need God anymore. We forget about our dependence upon God. And so we need to hear those stories. We need to hear our past history, because our past history has shaped who we are as Christians. I hope that many of you have heard your family stories of maybe from your parents or from grandparents about how they came into this land or the struggles that they went through or how God had helped them in different things. Maybe it's a story about an ancestor who was in the midst of poverty and had to leave the home country and take that adventure across the ocean and come over here and start new, fresh, on land that has never been plowed before. Or maybe it's a story of an ancestor who was caught in the midst of war, of oppression, and they had to escape their country and crossed over the borders here into this new land. Or maybe it's a story even of people who were chained to the hold of a ship and brought over as slaves. What is your past history? Because it shapes how you think and who you are. It shapes the thoughts for you today. If you think about it, our past history, it becomes very personal because because of your past history, it determines the way that you dress, how you speak, the foods that you eat. All these things are a part of our heritage of who we are. Hopefully your parents have sat down and talked to you about these things, but even more importantly, hopefully your parents have sat down and talked to you about the faith stories. I was very fortunate in growing up. My parents at night would take a children's Bible and they would read stories to us kids They would tell us those stories or read those stories from the Bible. And as we grew up, they encouraged us to continue to read from that Bible, to read those Bible stories to help shape and form us in our faith life. As we come now to this season of Lent, it is time to focus upon the central story of our heritage. That story of Jesus Christ going into Jerusalem, suffering many things, being executed on a cross, and rising once again to new life. Because in that story, then, we hear our dependence upon God, because we cannot attain salvation on our own. We've messed up. We've fallen to the temptations. And we can't change that. That's already in the past. We can't go back and undo that. And so we are in need of a Savior. And so we remember that story of Jesus Christ going to the cross and being raised once again for our salvation. The things in the past affect who we are today, and they also affect the way that we help to shape the future. Our faith, those stories of faith, affect us of who we are. And they remind us of who we are to be and who we will be in our lives to come. Each time we say the creed, we are remembering those past stories. And it helps us to remember who we are, who we were made to be, and who God expects us to be. God continues to be with us in all things. He continues to lead and guide us. We continue to be dependent upon God. And God will bless us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.